Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From the epistle lesson read a moment ago, these words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 13, verse 11. Besides this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, launching the holiday season came off with style. Mayor Giuliani greeted the crowd. The First Lady, Laura Bush, wished everyone peace and joy. The tallest tree ever in Rockefeller Center blazoned with a million lights. Voices from that large assembly joined Kathy Lee Gifford and a troupe of singers with "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come." You thought it was Christ time, Christmas in New York, until technicians turned down the mics and played over the carol a version of Silver Bell. No suggestion of conspiracy, the media against Christians, yet singing a Christmas carol that is muted to near dead silence, we sense the struggle, the ongoing struggle between him who is the light and life and the darkness of our age. Always it takes Advent to stir attention that a new day is at hand. It may be only the break of dawn, but the God who moved heaven to earth one Christmas Eve is about to close the books on this age and open a new book of life. The old gives way to the new. Since our Lord's resurrection, the old age of darkness and the new age of light tend to overlap, catching you and me in the twilight. The danger is the darkness, far gone with its end in sight, still reaches into the dawn and into the light of the day. And so the apostle cautions that we live not as Gentiles with darkened understanding, alienated from God and the will of God, and eager to practice every kind of uncleanness, and caring not how their lovelessness wrongs the neighbor. You did not so learn of Christ. And yet, many of us in this twilight tend to want to sleep on, engrossed in reveling and overindulgence. Some have lost sense of that time, the time it is when the Lord is at hand and our salvation is nearer than when we came to faith. Or persons satiated with sexual pleasure outside the perimeters of marriage and procreation may be very confused. What seems to them to be the light is the reality of deepest darkness. They are surely anesthetized in their sin. Oh, how foolish is such sleeping at the dawn of God's glorious day. The apostle names a particular spiritual sleep order, or disorder, if you will, that just may be common in communities like a seminary. The disorder that he names is strife and envy and jealousy, three words in English, two words in the Greek text. Strife among us. Oh, it's not open. It's so cleverly concealed. our disagreements seem so dignified, almost proper, given as we are to exchanging polite hostilities. Jealousy drives some of it. The need to be up one over our classmates, or the need to have a larger following of students than the next professor. Could it be that we here in the seminary community live at times in a way that clearly indicates how drowsy and groggy we are in this twilight time? As if we are trying to decide whether we are going to sleep on in the darkness of the night of sin or awaken to the new day and walk in the light. It just may be time, my friends, for us to wipe sleep from our eyes, open them, get to our feet, and look the part of one ready to meet the day. Just may be time. A 7-year-old boy riding solo the first time on a city bus heading downtown noticed one passenger who boarded at a stop near the train station. It was the year 1942, height of the conflict, World War II. The passenger was a young man in uniform. In dress greens, he stood straight and tall in the crowded aisle. Pinned to his jacket just below his lapel were those bars, ribbons, signaling battles fought. Though hardly out of his teen years, he had the look of a seasoned warrior, the steadiness and the confidence of the victor. One sensed that here was a young man, wherever he went, this United States Marine was alert and ready for battle. Hardly would he be found sloughing bar to bar on the city streets. He was the pride of America. And that 7-year-old, who is now up in years, remembers to this day the striking profile of that young Marine. What does it take for you and me to awaken out of sluggish slumber to a state alert and up for the day, confident that the black night of sin shall not have dominion over us? What does it take? Twice the apostle uses the "put on you" phrase in this scripture. He also uses the "put off from you" phrase, as you noticed. Let us therefore fling away the things that men do in the dark. Phillips on verse 12a. But the power is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power. Putting on his very death and resurrection, victory over sin, which is a lot like saying, put on the armor of light. Verse 14. Ephesians chapter 6 specifies that armor and that weaponry, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and for sure destruction of temptation and the onslaught of sin, taking in hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we access such power from our baptism when we put on Christ. And on a day such as this, when from his body and his blood, the nearness of his body and blood for the remission of our sins, which reveals the nearness of our salvation, this dawn of his day, from these we access power to be the Christian soldiers. We are to be in the dawn of the day of His glory and the appearing of our Lord. So men and women of the light, men and women of the light, aroused from sleep to a vibrant hope, anticipating your Lord Jesus, present your very bodies to the God who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all. The brightness of your hope is confessed in even the mundane things, such as your attitudes toward alcohol and sex, in the things common as your ordinary dealings with your fellows, about persons like you, men and women of the light. The sainted Dr. Martin Franzmann comments, amid the guzzling, brawling sons of night, these walk in radiant decency. You could see it. The MCs hosting that event in Rockefeller Center, the stars of stage and screen present, the dignitaries from City Hall and the White House, even the musicians. You could see in their eyes the yearning, the hope that this world can be safe, the hope that humanity might be better. For their sake, let the lights on trees and the lights in windows this season not be the only lights. You brighten this land. Walk tall in Christ, who is the light and life of all. And so walking in Him, brighten these days with the sure light of undying life.